You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back. This is Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast. As always, I'll be your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yeah, Scott. This will be episode 470. Woo! Yes, that's a good one.
I was fired up by...
By not being here for a week or two. Yeah.
No. I was fired up because we got a surprise... a surprise fan sent us two pizzas. Sort of.
Yeah, thanks, Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
Yeah.
No, the neighbor's pizza ended up on Dave's porch, and Dave didn't see it until he came over, so it sat out there for a couple hours.
Yeah.
We called Casey. Casey had got a replacement already. So.
Yep, thanks, Casey.
So we got some cold pizza if we choose to accept it. I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
Hey, so do you want to talk about why you didn't record last week?
Yes, I do. It's funny you ask why I did not record last week. Of course, you know.
I know.
My wife and I went to San Antonio.
Okay.
I had never been to San Antonio before.
I thought you'd been there.
Nope.
Let me ask you this real quick. I've been there a couple times. I quite like San Antonio, but I got to say... You agree or disagree? Does our Riverwalk suck compared to theirs, or what?
You know, when I was thinking about this, I knew you'd come up with that as some kind of thing. It's a different thing.
Why do we even have that stupid thing downtown? We can't compete with that.
No, but it's a different kind of deal. Theirs is different than
theirs
ours.
Is spectacular.
I mean, I'm going to assume most of the people here either are from Oklahoma City or have never been here. So either they know what we're talking about or they don't. I'll say this, and it's a different kind of deal. There are other cities that have river walks, by the way. I have a book. I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast.
I'm not saying there isn't other cities of river.
No. Let me finish.
Okay, I will. But what I'm
so
saying
I have
is
this. No. Let me finish, and then you talk. That's how let me finish goes. So I have this book called Interior Pedestrian Spaces.
I'm pretty sure it's outside though.
Did I talk about this?
Yeah.
On the, okay. This has a chapter about stuff like the river walk, and there are multiple cities that have river walks like that. But San Antonio was the first. But it's a different kind of deal because like, have you ever ridden the river, I don't know what they call them here, the barge or whatever on our canal, our river?
No, it's stupid. I would never ride that thing.
Well, the one in San Antonio, I haven't ridden the one either here, but the one in San Antonio goes a lot farther.
Their
river is different. It's just a different kind
of
deal.
It's a real river, too.
You can't compare it. Well, ours was a river.
Ours isn't a real river. Ours was going to tie into the river, but it never did.
No, it
never did.
No, I think it does.
Mm-mm. They were afraid it was going to flood, so they never did tie it into the river.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, the one in San Antonio was built... to control the floods.
It ties into the river.
Right. It ties into the river, if the river floods, it's got certain levees.
It's got gates that can open and let the water out.
Right. And it also is an area where they can, because apparently, I don't know this for a fact, but apparently they don't get a lot of rain, but when they do, it rains a lot, I guess is how it works, or something like that. But it is a river, but it's also a way to control the flood because all along it there were floodgates or not floodgates, but there were when it came on the streets it would go down there, you know, vents or drains, I guess is what you'd call it. But
I know one end or the other end, maybe on both ends of it, there's actually some kind of doors or something that can open and let the water. I'm pretty sure.
Well, there are. Well,
I rode
not
the thing,
exactly.
I rode the barge or the canal or the. What do they call them? The canoes or whatever they are.
I'm trying to remember what they called them.
And they're pointing, when the driver was pointing out, like, oh yeah, that's where the thing will open and let the water run.
Well, okay, so here's how the, here's what the, okay, so this is my, I went to, well, let me skip the Riverwalk talk for a second. Let me talk about the trip first. I'd never been to San Antonio. My wife had to go down there for a professional organizational meeting. And so we went down there. Now, apparently when I was, like under two, I went.
So you've been there then.
There were actually some stuff I remembered from when I was a kid, but
well, let me ask you this though: did you drive or fly?
Just now? We flew. Yeah.
You flew down there. You didn't drive.
Sure, we flew. Okay. Why would we drive?
Because it's only like 8 hours.
Yeah, we flew.
All right.
Well, one thing is, we didn't pay for my wife's airfare. Her organization did, so we just had to buy my airfare. Also, to put our car, we stayed downtown, and it would have cost $50 a night to park a car there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we were there for four nights. So, you know, I mean, again, not that that's that much money, but, you know, by that offsets almost all my airfare.
What about the
airfare is pretty
cheap. Did you have to rent a car or Uber or just walk around? No,
we stayed downtown and we walked around and we Ubered to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, real quick, did you go to the fort?
What fort?
There's a fort down. You didn't go to the fort then. They have a fort down there.
The Alamo?
It's a fort. They have a fort down there that's got all these restaurants and businesses. It's been there forever, and there's a restaurant in there. It's a Mexican restaurant. It's been there since, like, early 1900s. It's got, like, old photos on the wall of how San Antonio used to look. Really cool restaurant. You missed it, I guess, but it's a fort.
We went, there was a little village that we went to that had restaurants and stuff in it. There was, we saw the oldest restaurant in San Antonio, Casa Ria or something like that.
Hmm.
But it was on the Riverwalk. It wasn't on the
Riverwalk. Oh, no, this is the Riverwalk.
Anyway, one thing I want to talk about before I talk about the trip. Have you ever seen this movie? I'm holding up a movie. It's called Cloak and Dagger.
No.
Oh, okay, you've never seen this movie. This movie was made in the 80s. I'd never heard of it. It was from 80... I don't see the date on here. I think it's from the early 80s.
But not related to comic book characters, I guess.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's about a kid who, his dad, like, works a lot. I think either his parents are divorced or his mom died or whatever. And he kind of has this imaginary friend who's Dabney Coleman, who's like a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his younger sister, and they get this video game cartridge from a friend of theirs, and there's some spies after it. But it takes place in San Antonio, and it's filmed in San Antonio.
Okay.
So I'd seen this movie, and so it was like, okay, I'd seen some stuff. Again, I'd never been there, and I was going to watch it before we went. I didn't watch it. Didn't have a chance, basically. I think we're going to try and watch it this weekend. But anyway, Cloak and Dagger has a lot of scenes. It was actually shot in San Antonio. Part of it takes place in the Alamo. I don't think the part that takes place in the Alamo was shot in the Alamo because it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but it didn't look like the Alamo.
Well,
the Alamo.
Also, it's like a national park, so I doubt they could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
isn't it considered a national park? I know it's the Shrine of Texas, but I thought it was also a national park.
I don't know.
I could be wrong about that,
though. Anyway, so we went down there. Our hotel was like, well, the Riverwalk is a river, but there's a part that loops off of it and makes a loop.
Okay.
So our hotel was kind of at the point where the loop was, and it wasn't, it's like if you walked across the street and down some stairs, you were on the Riverwalk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like our window was out or, you know, hey, we have a balcony and we're hanging over the river or anything like that, but we were right there. So we went to the Alamo the first day we were there, and I didn't know what to expect. I knew it wasn't very big, but when we went in, I was like, oh, okay. What's funny is I remember when I went in, I swear I remember it from when I was a little kid.
Did you go to the basement?
There's no basement, dude. There's no basement, Pee-wee. When are we going to get to the basement?
Right.
If you haven't seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure, his bike gets stolen and a psychic tells him it's in the basement of the Alamo. But if you go to the Alamo, you'll go, there's no basement here. And first off, I want to watch that movie again because I don't know what kind of tour they gave on that thing, because there's nothing in there.
There's no roof on the Alamo either, right?
No, there's a roof on it.
I thought part of the roof was missing off the
park. No, there is now. It was missing at one point.
Okay.
But it's there now. And I didn't know much about the Battle of the Alamo. I'm sure I've seen the John Wayne movie, but it's been a while.
Uh-huh.
I also own that. I want to watch that again to see, because...
Well, there's a newer version of the Alamo than that.
Yeah, and supposedly that one's pretty good.
It's not
bad. I mean, it's pretty historically accurate.
It's got Billy Bob Thornton in it, I think.
Yes. So seeing the Alamo kind of got me interested in the history of what happened. Of course, when we went in, they had like a diorama, and the diorama showed, the guy was like, oh, well, here is this, and then here's San Andreas, and they went over the wall, and they did this, and this. But he didn't talk about what led up to it, and so I was kind of curious about that, so I watched we had to go, on Friday, we went, one of the guys in her organization rented a, chartered like a big bus, and took 30 people out to his house. He lived in New Braunfels,
Brunswick maybe?
No, Braunfels, it's where all the water parks are at.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like an hour and hour away.
Mm-hmm.
So he rented this bus to take us out there, and so...
It's where the Schlitterbahn is?
It's where the Schlitterbahn is.
Yeah.
And so on the way back, I watched this I looked on YouTube and I watched this documentary about the Alamo and the history that led up to it. Because I always thought, I didn't grow up in Texas, so I didn't hear the history of it, but I always thought, okay, it's all these American dudes, basically white guys, Caucasian, whatever, down there in the Alamo, the Mexicans come up and they kill them all. Absolutely not what happened. Most of the people that were killed in the Alamo were actually Mexicans. They were Mexicans that had settled in Texas, and then they wanted to be like an independent state. Texas had signed a treaty with Spain to stay in Texas, but what happened is Mexico had a revolution, and they like us, basically broke away from Spain. And so all of a sudden, their treaty was with Spain and not with Mexico. And so Mexico said, you can't have, no more Americans can move to Texas. And so the Texans were afraid that they would, then next step would be to kick them out. You know, because they'd all built houses and stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened, and I don't want to go into all the history, but there's more to it than just that. The Battle of the Alamo really lasted, it lasted 2 weeks supposedly, but really most of that 2 weeks was Santa Anna's troops shooting at the Alamo with a cannon. The Alamo was built sturdy enough to withstand the cannon, but the repeated cannon fire over 2 weeks weakened it.
Well, hang on a minute. I know for a fact there's a wall, but there's a creek running down the wall, and there's some of those Mexican army guys were just crawling under the...
Yeah, I mean,
it was not a very good wall.
Well, it wasn't a good situation, and it's not very big, and they had...
And they had some barracks off to one side.
They had some barracks off to the side, and they had a wall. It did have a wall around parts of it. I think around the whole thing actually, but,
it wasn't that tall of a wall.
No, I forget how tall it was, but it was not very tall.
Maybe 6 feet. I don't know. Maybe taller.
I think it was a little bit higher than that. But not more than 8 feet. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But it wasn't really built as like a defensive kind of wall, even though it was.
Well, no,
it was
thick.
It was like a church or commune or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a commune, but a monastery. Or
yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It was originally built as like a mission.
Yeah.
For like monks to like. I guess preached to the Indians back in when it was originally built, but they at the time part of the dispute came about because the Mexicans had taken over another town, and they had said we will not give any quarter to them. So basically they said anybody that fights us, if we overrun you, we don't take any prisoners. We're gonna kill everybody, and they did. And so the people in the Alamo were like, if they take us, they're gonna kill us all.
And that's why Davy Crockett went down there to defend the place.
No, Davy Crockett was down there. Went down
there. He didn't start out there. He went there.
No. He was.
When he heard it was bad, he went over there.
Well, he went down to Texas. Well, He went into Texas because he lost a bid for Congress. He was in Congress from Tennessee because his famous saying is on the congressional floor, I believe he told Congress, "You can go to hell and I'm going to go to Texas."
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't come down there. Oh, there's people kind of came and went, but it was getting bad. But when it really got bad, people couldn't get in there. I mean, once Santa Ana had it surrounded.
He had a chance to not go down there. He went there to defend it for sure, though.
Well, to defend, yeah.
He didn't have to go down. He got in there before they surrounded it, but he didn't have to go down there to do that.
No.
I think he did that knowing he wasn't going to make it out, probably, because I think there was only, like, maybe 300 or 400 Americans, like 15,000 Mexicans. Something
like that.
Some crazy. It was really.
I don't know if it's 15,000 or 1,500, but the odds were definitely in the Mexicans' favor.
I thought it was 15,000. You might be right. I don't remember. I haven't been there for years.
There's a lot of, and that's the thing is like a lot of like what happened is kind of shrouded in mystery because all the Americans were killed almost. There were some women and some children that got out.
Yeah.
There was a slave that got out.
Okay.
No. All the white men got it.
Okay.
Even Jim Bowie was sick and he was bedridden, and he was killed. But supposedly he had two pistols on him and he was shooting them as they were coming in the door. It's interesting.
But they got theirs because Sam Houston ran them all the way down to Mexico City.
I haven't read too much about that portion of it, but yeah.
Houston got all the way down there.
The Alamo kind of turned the tide because, there was the city Gilead after that they also took over, and they killed everybody in Gilead. And there was a deal before that where there was a town that had a cannon. And I don't know if they got it from the Mexicans or the Mexicans just, I don't know if they wanted it or they wanted it back, but it's like, hey, that's our, give us the cannon. And so they flew this big flag that said, come and take it with a picture of a cannon on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everywhere down there, you could buy shirts with that on it. The funny thing is, I like San Antonio. I really enjoyed going there, but I feel like I told my employees, it was a great place, but man, there's a lot of Texans there. if you ever go down there again, you know, across from there's kind of a strip of shops. One of the shops had a Lego version of the Alamo that somebody had made,
mm-hmm.
and it was cool because the figures were all like the Lego figures, mm-hmm. and it was the battle. And like at one part, I'll just send you some of the pictures for the pod or for the blog. Some of the, like it had the Mexican troops, like, cross a river, and they'd cut the Legos in half, and they were in the middle of the river.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, there's somebody on the inside fighting a bear, and there's a little thing saying...
Well, that was a...
David Crockett,
right?
Well, I think the figure is supposed to be David Crockett, but there was not... There's a sign at the bottom that kind of points out stuff, and was no bear in the Alamo.
Well, actually, Daniel Boone's the one that fought the bear, so I don't know why they have David Crockett fighting the bear, but whatever. Remember the song
Daniel Boone? No, that's Davy Crockett.
No, it was Daniel Boone, wasn't it, that fought the bear?
David Crockett killed him a bear when he was only
okay,
three.
Okay, all right.
Davy.
So maybe that's the reason why they had the bear in there.
That's
then.
Why they had the
but
bear.
But there's no Mexican
there
attack
bear. Yeah, Mexicans did not bring a bear
they
up.
They didn't bring the Mexican attack bear. The
Mexican attack bear.
That's
my metal band name.
He only
Mexican attack bear.
He only bites white people.
Yeah. Whoa, no, it's a bear.
So there's a bear Lego
racist bear.
So there's a bear Lego fighting Davy Crockett, huh?
Yeah. I think it was a Davy. I took some pictures, but
was it Sam Houston?
Sam Houston wasn't there. He was not at the Alamo.
Oh, I was thinking Jim Bowie.
Jim Bowie was there, and William Travis was there. William Travis was in charge.
Well, see,
and what's funny is all these guys, like Jim Bowie, had gotten some trouble. Oh, that was another thing. I think it was Jim Bowie that was married and had a wife, and he, like, left his wife and kid. No, it was Travis. William Travis was, like, married and had a kid, and, like, he ran into some problems. He just went to Texas, man, just like, I'm going to Texas. And he's, like, living it up like a bachelor. He kept, like, a diary of all of his, like, conquests and stuff. But
then he was killed at the Alamo.
But he was killed at the Alamo. Jim Bowie... let's see, was it Jim Bowie? Wasn't Jim Bowie. There was somebody down there that had like in, I think in Florida, they were giving out land grants if you applied for one. And so this guy got all these names and made all these fake land grants under different names and turned them in, and he got busted. And he was actually, they were like trying to like try him for it, for like land fraud. And if he had got him, he would have owned more property than anybody else in the world at that point, or America, anybody else in America.
And his name was Walt Disney.
His name was Walt Disney, and now he owns, no, he, but... But that guy went to, so a lot of, that was the thing on the documentary I watched, is like a lot of people in Texas were like kind of shady dudes that had kind of come down there to escape trouble, which I think throughout the history of America, the people who go on the frontier are the people trying to escape their past a lot of times.
Well, but Lewis and Clark did that.
Maybe. Well, no, they were on the clock, but you know, but anyway, so we went to the Alamo. Then we went and we went to the Riverwalk. We rode the there's these barges you can ride around the Riverwalk that are, it's pretty cool. It's like $14-15 to ride it. I walked, so one day we walked, and I don't know what the mileage is. I should look and see what the mileage is. We walked 32,000 steps one day.
Did you go to the HPB down there?
No. No, I did not.
You have any bookstores down there?
There was, so I went there right north of the Alamo. I walked 10.9, Michelle and I walked 10.9 miles one day, and then I walked 7.5 the day before. So the library in San Antonio has a library book sale, like an ongoing deal. Like if you go to the library, it's like New Orleans. If you go to the library, and there, but theirs was bigger than New Orleans. If you go to the library, there's like a, in New Orleans, it was like a building out back. In here, it was like in the basement. Huge room that they had all kinds of books for sale. I didn't buy a lot because I had to carry them back, but I bought probably, I don't know, half a dozen books or a dozen books or something. I got a book. I got a book. Let's see if I can find them. I think they're all here. I got this. This is the 35th anniversary copy of A Confederacy of Dunces. I didn't have that. That's my favorite book. So that was a that was $2. Hardcovers were $1. Softcovers were $2. For the most part, they had some special stuff. I got this.
Oh, that's pretty
Robert
cool.
Howard, Robert E. Howard, Brian McMoran book. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, this was $1. I did not have this. This has all the Brian McMoran stories in them. Illustrated by Gary Gianni.
Wasn't Barry showing us that? Didn't Barry have a copy of that?
I don't know if he did or not.
There's a matching copy that's not Brian McMoran.
Oh no, no, there's a whole lot. They've got a whole library. I've got Solomon Kane.
That's what I'm saying. The matching books. Yeah.
I've got this. When they did these, and these are really cool. They're done by Del Rey. They're illustrated, and I've got the first volume of the Conan one. I think there's like three or four Conan volumes. I've got the, of course, the Brian McMoran, which I like. I read that story in the Conan magazine about Brian McMoran. I forget the name of that story.
Worms. He's the Puritan?
No. The Puritan, Solomon Kane. I got that one, too. Okay. That one's cool.
So what's Brian McMoran's angle?
He's like early England. Like a, I don't know what you call it. Worms of the Earth. That's the one that was in. It's like a, he's like a.
Oh, Worms of the Earth. We Barry had we talked about that on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we all three read that, right?
Oh, this is. I don't think so.
I thought so.
Oh, this got sketches in the back of it. I wonder if the other one's doing. I haven't noticed it. This is the first one I've seen with sketches. But they've got that. I think I got the Cole one too. I've got a couple of them up there. I know I've got a Conan and the Solomon Kane.
What year was it printed? You don't see those out.
No, anymore. I know. I've gotten some deals on a couple of them, but they're hard to find because they're out of print.
All the good stuff is
2001.
Yeah,
or this 2005. Well, the illustrations are copyright 2001.
Okay.
Let's see. It's got Coming of Conan, Savage Tales, Solomon Kane, Bloody Crown of Conan. Bran McMorn, Conquering Sword of Conan Cole. I don't know if I have the Cole one. The Cole one would be a good one to get. I mean, I read, what's cool about this is I read all this Conan stuff. Although I have a Bran McMorn book. I read all that stuff when Ballantyne was putting out when I was a kid, but they edited it so heavy and they redid them and stuff that, I mean, this stuff is like, straight out of the polls.
Was it Elspeth de Camp that went through there?
Yeah, it was Elspeth de Camp.
Changed up some stuff.
Yeah, something. And somebody else. And I mean, they made them more readable, I guess. But this is, like, if you read the Conan one, this is, it's just the order that it comes out. When they went through, they tried to make it, like, in sequential order, mm-hmm. you know, and make it tell, like, the story. This apparently is just the, hey, this is what came out in the magazine.
Right.
You know. Okay, so I got that. I got the Confederate Dunce's book. I got this book. Now, you can't see that. This is an older book, but I told Michelle, I go, they would never publish this book today. It's called Men of Art, and it's basically an art history book. It just so happens they're all men, but it's just funny that it's titled Men of Art, but it goes through, it's all, what I liked about it is, It's all art movements. I mean, I think it's like European stuff. It doesn't have, but it's like in sequential order, you know, and it's all famous artist stories. I thought it was kind of cool.
What year was that book published?
This book? Good idea. I didn't look. I shouldn't
believe. There's no dust jacket.
No, there's no dust jacket. 1931.
Okay.
Yeah, 1931, right there. I don't know. I should look it up. It may be worth something.
I bought a Tarzan book this last weekend.
Oh, yeah, at the library sale.
And it's Tarzan Volume 6.
Right? Okay.
And doesn't have a dust jacket, though, unfortunately. But it's the first American printing of this particular Tarzan book.
Oh, that's cool.
In hardcover.
Oh, yeah.
You know what year it came out in America? Take a wild guess of how old this book is. I bought it.
The Let's see. Itself. 23.
That's a good guess. It was originally published in England. I want to say it was 1916. The American copy, the first published American copy, 1919. I bought a book at the library book sale that was over 100 years old.
That's funny.
And it's not in bad shape for being over 100 years old, dude.
I got a book. I think it's in the other room.
Best part, I paid like $3 for it.
Yeah, I got a book from when my grandmother passed away. I got a couple books from her, her house or whatever. She didn't have a lot of books, but she had a few. But one of them I had is called The Guide to Owning a Motor Vehicle, and it's like from 1920 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, you know, here's what, and it goes through,
here's
like
the outside handbrake.
Yeah, here's how you use the, actually how you crank start a car.
Yeah.
You know. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, so yeah, so if you go to San Antonio and you're staying downtown, it's an easy walk. It's right on, it's on Soledad Street, which is where our hotel was on. I walked to the library, got some books. And I was, you know, I was kind of picky because I was like, I don't want to carry back 100 books to my, you know, to the plane, to the house, blah, blah, blah. But I, when I was coming back, the hotel across, I saw all these police cars. I'm like, what in the world? And I was like, maybe I should call Michelle. This is the day she was in class or in meetings. And literally took my phone out and she texted me. She goes, yeah, they're evacuating the hotel across from us.
Mm.
Apparently, the hotel across from us had some kind of environmental emergency, and they had to evacuate people. And dude, there was, I'm not exaggerating, there's probably 30 emergency vehicles around there. It was like University of Texas Medical Examiner. Ambulances.
Wait, medical examiner.
Well, it was medical something.
I was like, there's a dead body in that joint.
I don't know what was going on, but it was crazy. Anyway, so So if you go to San Antonio, go to the library book sale if that's your bag. It was pretty cool. Oh, and I bought a DVD, like an anime DVD called Paprika. That
oh yeah, I know what that is.
Oh, you know what that is? Yeah, mm-hmm. I got that. I think I paid like that was all their anime was like half price. I think that was like $4 or $5.
Yeah.
Had a lot of music there. There wasn't anything. A lot of country and western music. If you go to San Antonio, brace yourself for country and western music, because there was a lot of it. It reminded me a lot of going to New Orleans, just the town and walking around and stuff, but the food wasn't as good. Wait.
The food wasn't as good. What are you talking about?
Well, New Orleans is known for its food.
And there's some really good Mexican restaurants down there, though.
Well, okay. So then we went on the Riverwalk. The Riverwalk is pretty cool. It's basically, it's a river, and it's got a concrete path down both sides. Most of the buildings...
Well, you should also say that it's probably about 20 feet or more below the street level.
You think it's that high?
It's pretty far down there. There's a lot of steps down to it.
I don't know about 20 foot.
Okay, let's say 10 feet then. I think it's more than that, but whatever.
I think it's probably there. It's probably 15 feet.
Okay, you were just there.
It varies. It varies.
Ours, though, once again...
Well, I'm not comparing it to ours. Well, I hope not. I didn't go to Bricktown.
I hope not. Ours sucks.
Well, okay. I mean...
yeah. No, I think San Antonio's is spectacular. With the trees and stuff growing down there.
Well, really cool. That's what I was going to say is there's a lot of like, bushes and stuff down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was... But there were spots where you walked for a long time and there wasn't anything.
Did you eat at one of those restaurants out of the patio down there?
No, we did not because it was... No, we didn't. I mean... Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is, it was... like, in the evening, it was really... When we first went there, we went to the Hard Rock just because we were starving and we couldn't find a place to eat. And so we ate at the Hard Rock. And they asked if we wanted to eat on the patio, but we didn't want. We ate inside.
The Hard Rock, it's not on the Riverwalk there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't remember that being there.
Well, when was the last time you went?
I don't know. It's been 10 years ago. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, they may have moved it. I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely on the Riverwalk. But it, you know, here's the thing though, and let me. I'm glad I mentioned Hard Rock. You know, used to. If you've ever been to Hard Rock in Oklahoma City, when we traveled, if we went to Dallas, we'd eat at the Hard Rock, or if we went to New York or to Florida or whatever, we'd eat at the Hard Rock. It wasn't always. You and I would go to San Diego, eat at the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Usually, the food was good, and it was a cool experience. Dude, the new Hard Rock suck.
Yeah.
They were bought out a few years ago.
It used to be Hard Rock was kind of like a destination restaurant, sort of, I guess.
It was almost like a theme restaurant.
And you could go and see memorabilia and all that. Dude, the last several times I've been to Hard Rock, I'm like, these places are
just... I'm not going back.
They're jokes.
Yeah, I won't go back.
They're total jokes.
So Michelle and I went years ago, probably in 99, went to the Hard Rock in Tijuana, Mexico.
Yeah.
And we went down there, and it reminded me of the old one in Dallas. It was all wood on the inside, but it was one story.
Yeah.
Had the stained glass of the Trinity, you know, Elvis, B.B. King, was it B.B. King and so. Jerry Lee Lewis?
I think so, yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis, not Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lee Lewis, I didn't figure out which one was the musician, which was the comedian. But it had that stained glass like they used to have it in...
Yeah.
And several of them have that. But if you looked in that was in the main dining room. If you looked over here, it was like a regular cafe. You know, it was very unimpressive over there. And I told Michelle, this is the weakest Hard Rock I've been in. Well, then, the one in Dallas used to be down... It was on... Was on Commerce Street?
I don't know if it's actually on Commerce, but that's kind of the area.
Where it was, and it was in the old... courthouse. It was all wood. It had the balcony. It was really cool. Lots of cool memorabilia. And then they moved.
Yeah, that new place just sucks.
And the moved place, I swear, they were like, hey, this used to be a Del Taco. let's throw up some guitars. Now it's a hard rock.
Well, it wasn't a Del Taco, but you got the right
idea. But, I mean, it looks like it could be a Del Taco. It could
be anything,
It could be anything. It is not distinctive looking. Now, the one in New York City, I went there last time we were in New York City.
I've never been to that one.
I've been there a couple times. I went there. I didn't get to eat there because they had a private, it was like at Christmas time, they had a private function.
Yeah.
But it's in Times Square, it's cool still. But the newer ones suck. The food isn't what it used to be.
You know what my beef with it is? It's called Hard Rock. And they're in there playing like Green Day and some shit you never heard of.
Yeah. Well, now let me say this.
The music selection is terrible. When we were in there,
it was all 80s rock music, dude.
It's terrible.
They showed the video for Photograph. They showed...
Yeah,
it was like straight up early 80s MTV when we were there. That was cool. At least they played some good music. But yeah, you're right. They'll play anything.
I think they've only done... Their license is just to play crap nowadays, it seems like.
Well, they played Photograph. So, I mean, they played some good music, but it is a shadow. The original company has sold them. It's a shadow of what it used to be. You know.
Well, do people even want to donate anything to them to put up there? Why would you?
I used to be cool.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's a joke.
But I think they franchised out and... Yeah. And it might as well be any other. It was no different than any other restaurant.
Yeah, you can go to Times Square. Like there's a Bubble Gump shrimp place, and there's all those other kind of chains.
Let me put it this way, the experience was nothing memorable, and the food wasn't anything to write home about. Yeah,
no, I won't go there anymore.
Yeah, no. We're going to New York in the spring. I may go to the one in Times Square if I have some free time.
So you're going in the spring, you're not going to go to Comic-Con?
Well, we're going in May. I don't know what I'm doing during Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We got a thing we're going to in May.
Oh, gotcha.
Anyway, the Riverwalk was cool. I like San Antonio. I told Michelle, I don't know if I did go there for vacation, but if I had a reason to go down there, I'd definitely go down there. If she's got another meeting down there, I'd definitely go down there.
I don't know if there's anything really good on there vacation-wise for. Once you see the Alamo and that kind of stuff, you know, what else would you do the rest of the time you're down there?
Did
you go on the tower? There's a tower they got.
We did not go on the tower.
Yeah, they got that tower. It's kind of cool.
Michelle said last time she was there, she went to the tower. She said she ate at that restaurant up there. Yeah. She went there on a business thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, but yeah, I don't know. If somebody is like sitting in their house or like, hey, let's take the kids down to the Alamo, I think they're going to be disappointed.
I don't think so. I think first...
Depends on how far they drive to get there.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to the
Alamo... Depends on how far they get to...
If you're going to the Alamo and you're going to the Riverwalk and you're going to go for like the weekend, I think that's perfect. I don't think it's a good place to go for a whole week or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were there from... Thursday to Sunday. We left midday Sunday. That
might be a little long.
It was a little long.
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 days would cover it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Especially if you're going to stay downtown. Now, if you stay outside of downtown, there may be other stuff to do and then just go downtown. But, man, some guy was complaining because he drove to the Riverwalk and he was like, man, I was down here parked for 2 hours. It cost me $25.
Well, they've also got SeaWorld down there. You could do that.
Yeah.
And they've got a hell of a roller coaster called the Steel Eel. So, I mean, if you're, you know, wanting to do something like that, you could do that.
Oh, let me, before I stop talking about San Antonio, let me talk about this. So, I'm a big history buff. I don't know, you're not a history buff at all, are you?
Not really.
Okay. So I have a book in my hand. We were talking about this, and I got this to kind of talk about this other book I bought on the trip. But so I have a book called Lewis Real, a comic strip biography by Chester Brown.
Chester Brown.
This is probably the only Chester Brown book I own, and this is a history of a guy named Lewis Real, who was a settler in Canada. This is a Canadian history book. I guess Chester Brown's from Canada. And this book is really good. I've had this book. I bought it new when it came out. I enjoyed this book. It's been a while since I've read it. I don't know the Canadian history background, so I couldn't tell you all about it. But this is a good book. And it's a graphic novel. So while I was down there, I said I'd watch this documentary about the Alamo. We were at a tourist gift shop thing in the mall there, and I got a book called Alamo All-Stars, and it's part of Nathan Hale's, who's the cartoonist, the same name as the famous Nathan Hale. It's part of Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales, which rhymes, but he's done a series of historical graphic novels, and this is, the pages aren't numbered. I'd say this is probably about 200 pages, maybe less than. But it's a graphic novel about the history of the Alamo. And it's got a map on the inside of the Alamo, and then it's got a map of Texas showing where these battles were. And it's basically the story of the events that led up to the Alamo and what happened afterwards. And this book is phenomenal. If you have a kid that's interested in history, or maybe they're not interested in history, but they like comic books, maybe they Dog Police or whatever the comic book that all the kids read. But they're maybe a little bit older and they want to read something historical. This is a great book. It's geared towards kids. I think it's kind of written with kid friendly. Let's put it that way. But I really enjoyed it. It reminded me of some of the Guy DeLeese books.
Wait, okay.
You know, he did that Pyongyang, the story about North Korea. He did...
Was it called Summer Job or something you read?
Well, he did Summer Job, which is...
The title may not be quite... It might not be... Summer Factory, something like that.
Something.
Factory
Job, maybe. But
I don't know.
Anyway, he's done a bunch of stuff. And this Nathan Hale's done a bunch. It's put out by Amulet Books, which is an imprint of Abrams. I got it. I read it, and it was a great overview, I thought, of the Alamo and the events led up to the Alamo. And like I said earlier, I kind of thought, oh, it's just, you know, the white guys versus the Mexicans. Little more nuanced than that, certainly. There's a lot of different things going on, and this really is an in-depth look at the history. In the back, he's got, you know, all his sources that he researched them. I highly recommend this, especially if you're like, hey, we're going to go down, maybe you're going to go to Texas for vacation, and your kids want something to read in the car or on the plane, or maybe you want them to do something besides look at their phones. I recommend picking this up. $15, heck of a deal, man. Great. It's well illustrated. I think it's better than the Lewis Real, kind of different target audience, obviously, but it is done in kind of a cartoony style, and he's kind of got kind of almost like a caricature for each of the main people, so they're real easy to tell who's who and that sort of thing. Great book. 100% recommend it. Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales, Alamo All-Stars. So really, this was a long prelude to the cool stuff of Alamo All-Stars. Anyway, I enjoyed going down there. Everywhere you looked, there was like, what would we call it, Texas propaganda of
Texas
don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, Texas
pride. I told Michelle, I go, man, you know, Texas is the only state that I've been to that every freaking building you go to has their state flag in front of it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and she's like, well, they have state pride. And I'm going, they got something.
That's something coming from your wife who's the Texan.
Yeah, I know. She felt like she had to defend them. I have freed her from Texas and converted her. But
you brought her out of all that.
Well, I mean, like here, you don't, unless it's a government building, people generally don't fly the Oklahoma flag. I mean, in front of my work, we do. But, like, if you go to a restaurant down the street, they don't have the Oklahoma flag hanging up. Oh, I guarantee you, every freaking restaurant had the Texas flag somewhere.
Because they're all ready to succeed.
I saw more Texas flags than American flags.
They're ready, what's it called, secede from the union.
Secede
from the union, yeah.
They're
ready to get the hell out.
Well, I'd never seen that. I mean, you've seen the Gadsden flag where it's got the snake and it said... Don't tread on me.
Yeah.
Well, I saw some of those. I also saw, I mean, like for sale in stores, the flag I saw a lot of was the flag that they flew that had the cannon on it said, come and get it. or come and take it, which is what they taunted the Mexicans with, that were trying to get that cannon. But then I saw that same flag, and it had an AK-47 on it. So it said, come and take it. Again, you know, it's...
The NRA has that flag now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're, you know, we butt up to Texas, but it is like a dip. And I'd never been that... Well, no, I've been to Houston, but I'd never been to San Antonio. It is, I think it's a lot different mentality than Dallas, you know.
Well, no.
My friend that lived in Austin, he used to always say, oh, Dallas, that's like North Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then there's that King of the Hill when he went up to Dallas, and he's like, God dang it, it's practically Oklahoma.
You're like, yeah!
Anyway, that's enough Texas talk for tonight. Texas rant.
Thank you for the Texas. Well, you know, when I went to New York, you called it the travelogue. I'm gonna call this the New York
Texas travelogue.
Hey, you gotta get in on that, man.
Hey, this don't look too good.
No, hang on. Let me see one.
We're eating the neighbor's pizza.
No, it's still good, man.
Is it still good?
Yeah. I won't talk about mouthful.
You gotta leave the pizza in the pizza eating in the show.
So, have you? I got a question. Got a little time left. I got a question. Did you ever finish Black Panther?
No.
Okay, so I did.
Hang on. I'm good. I never started it.
Okay. So I finished it. Went back.
I may watch it tonight. So try not to spoil it.
I won't spoil it. You've had plenty of chances to watch it, but
I've been out of time, dude.
I won't spoil it.
We're on a comic book.
I'm pretty sure it's been on Disney Plus for over a month now.
I don't think so.
Okay, anyway.
Two weeks, max.
So, no. So, I had a couple of observations I want to share with you that have really nothing to do with the story. Number one, after watching the whole enchilada, the whole two hour and 47 minute, whatever, however long it was, something like that.
It's over 2 hours.
We know that. It's a Marvel movie.
Oh, my gosh. This is why I don't watch Marvel movies.
It's 2 hours and 40-something minutes, dude.
Holy shit.
It's as long as the Avengers Endgame stuff. So, anyways, you know, if you have, like, your actor that's the linchpin, the center focal point of the movie... He plays the title character.
Right.
If said actor passes away...
Unfortunately. Because he was good.
Yeah, he was a good actor. He's been a lot of other things besides Black Panther. If he dies, though, you've really got to either kill the franchise or make a hell of a pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to really say, after watching the whole thing, I think they did about as good as they could have done under the circumstances.
I think that's what everybody has said.
So, you got to take your hat off to that, because they pivoted well, the story addresses it on a couple of different occasions in the movie. At the very front of the movie, they show a montage of his face over the Marvel letters, no music playing like you normally get. So, they not only let you know that, yeah, this actor died, Chadwick Boseman, but also in the movie they address the fact that the character died at the very front of it. It's not a spoiler. And then, you know, if you read the comics, you know that at one point his sister took over but became the Black Panther. I'm not going to say if she was or wasn't in the movie, but you can draw your own conclusions there. But I didn't hate it, you know, and I mean, that's saying something, because I would say the three or so movies before it that we've talked about in depth, I wasn't really a huge fan of those three movies, you know, or maybe four movies, even Doctor Strange.
Have you liked anything post-Endgame?
I would say, well, it's what I'm saying, those four movies post-Endgame, which is The Eternals, Black Widow, Doctor Strange, and Shang-Chi, if you count those four movies, not a big fan of all, I mean, and they're all decent, but they're not great. I think this movie's better than those four movies.
Oh, okay.
And I, you know, I didn't hate the how long it was. I mean, it really went by fairly quickly, actually. Now there was that one scene with T'Challa's mom and sister talking that I told you before. I fell asleep during that, but I'd been up since probably before 5 o'clock, so a.m. So, you know, I kind of was tired. I kind of crapped out. But then when I went back to it, picked it up, watched the rest of it, thought it was pretty decent. So, yeah, I'm gonna kind of, for you,
yeah,
give you a recommendation. I don't think it's as bad as it could have been, or maybe even should have been, and definitely better than the four movies that came before it.
Okay.
So that's kind of a, I won't say,
I may try and watch it this weekend.
Yeah, I won't say it's a ringing endorsement, but yet the fact I didn't hate it says something, you know. Have you watched, you're not caught up on like The Mandalorian, are you? Have you watched The New Mandalorian?
We were going to watch it tonight, but we ran short on time. So no, I haven't watched The Mandalorian.
Okay. But you'd watch the other two seasons?
Yes.
And you'd watch Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so watch the first episode of that. I thought it was pretty decent. So have you tried to watch any of the, what's it called, The Last of Us?
I have not. Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were watching it, weren't you?
Yeah. So, really quick, I think, did I talk about it on the episodes?
I think you mentioned it. I don't know if you've talked about it in depth.
So, it's like,
is it a zombie thing?
No, not exactly. It's,
okay.
It's, I mean, I say not exactly. It's kind of HBO's answer to The Walking Dead. It's a post-apocalyptic plague type of a thing. Hits. No.
I don't know if I'd take a plague movie after COVID.
It's a plague, and it's about a guy and his brother and his daughter that when the plague first hits, how like one day everything's normal, the next day this plague thing hits, which is way worse than COVID, obviously.
Right.
In the end, there's a time hop like 20 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you get, the first episode is kind of the setup, and then it's literally like 20 years later of what's happened in 20 years. And I only bring it up because Pedro Pascal, who's the Mandalorian, is the main star of that show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually quite good. Some of the episodes are, there's a few that are kind of standalone, sort of, where it shows, has backstory of different characters. And so you'll be like watching, you'll have some Pedro Pascal stuff, and you'll have like, there's a couple of episodes that are kind of like some backstory of some other things going on. But it's basically him starting off in Boston and going to Wyoming through this, you know, through America, like 20 years post something that's happened. And I won't get into exactly what, but again, I think it's pretty good. It's, you know, it's based on a video game.
Yeah. I've watched people play parts of the video game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, but, you know,
I don't know how many seasons they'll run. The thing about HBO is they've got a pretty shitty track record about just up and canceling things.
Yeah. Oh, it's gotten worse.
You know, they won't cancel like The Sopranos or, you know, some things they wouldn't cancel, but
yeah,
other things they would cancel in a heartbeat. So,
well, The Sopranos may be the best show they've ever put out. So, I reference The Sopranos at least once a week at work.
The Sopranos is definitely like a top five HBO show, you know, for sure.
I told my supervisor this week, respect is earned.
But, yeah. But, you know, something like this show, they could cancel it at any time. So,
right. It's not The Sopranos. Yeah,
hopefully people will watch it if they like it and keep with it. You know, give it a shot. I think it's decent.
I'll check it out. Because I'm kind of looking for something else to watch. Definitely.
Let's do this. We're about in an hour. We got things to talk about. Let's just cut this episode off. Maybe we can come back with another one.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. As always, I'm your host, Dale Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yeah, come back next week for another all new episode. Check out our blog at betterthanfictionthepodcast.blogspot.com, where I will post some photos of what we talked about, including Scott's trip to San Antonio, and hopefully he'll send me some pictures of this Lego.
The Lego Alamo.
Alamo.
Yeah.
It's got Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, whoever, fighting the bear. We know
it's not Daniel Boone.
We know it's Davy Crockett.
It's Davy Crockett. Yeah, I'll send you some pictures. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a second to leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Also, as always, thanks to our sponsor, Area 51 Comics and Games in Pensacola, Florida, on Navy Boulevard. If you're headed through the panhandle of Pensacola, maybe you're going down to Disney World for a little spring break, stop off and tell Jim Bob, hey, tell him we sent you.
Thanks for the sponsorship, Jim Bob. We appreciate it. And with that, we'll say, hey, come back next week for another all-new episode. See ya.